Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text is the gospel reading you just heard, particularly these words. The crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." On April the 12th, 2007, a 39-year-old man stationed himself next to a trash can at a subway station in Washington, D.C. He was wearing a sweatshirt and a Washington Capitals cap. He was a street entertainer, familiar to those people who use the public transportation. He opened a violin case, took out his violin, and seated the violin case with some change, and he started to play. But not just a simple tune, a Bach piece, one of the most challenging for a violinist. He was participating in an experiment with Washington Post. Would the greatest violinist, his name was Joshua Bell, playing a very expensive violin, it was a 1713 Stradivarius, playing a very difficult piece, get anyone's attention during rush hour? After he had been playing for 3 minutes, 63 people had passed, and one man slowed down just for a moment, but he didn't stop. After 6 minutes of playing, one man stopped, leaned against the wall for a little bit, and listened. A total of 1,070 people passed by without giving any attention. 27 threw in some change, a total of $32. Joshua Bell usually makes $1,000 a minute when he plays at a concert. Even the most incredible gifts, the greatest and amazing skills and mastery can be ignored. So it might not be surprising to us that Jesus is getting different kinds of responses here to the work that he does. His teaching left people astonished. Matthew tells us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that they were astonished at his teaching because he taught with authority and not as the scribes. But then now Jesus, after his teaching on the Mount, begins to demonstrate his authority in a different way by healing a leper, a paralyzed servant of the centurion, calming a raging storm on the sea that left even the disciples amazed, asking, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" He cast out a legion of demons, restored sight and strength, restored strength to a paralyzed man, healing a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, raising the ruler's daughter from death. Which brings us to our text, and again we see two more miracles, Jesus healing two blind men who were persistent in seeking Jesus, calling him Son of David, even following him into the house because they wanted access to his authority and power. The reactions varied. The blind men believed that Jesus could heal them. They affirmed him as the Son of David. The mute man, out of which he cast a demon, spoke, but we don't know what he said. The crowds marveled, and the Pharisees accused him of using the power of Satan to do the work that he was doing. They all witnessed Jesus' authority, his power, his compassion, his care for people, but there's no guarantee of faith, even though they all might have witnessed the same things or seen the same things. St. Augustine said, "Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the result of this faith is to see what we believe." It's a mystery. People can see the same things and come to vastly different conclusions. At Oxford University, for example, you have on the one hand Alistair McGrath with three doctorates from Oxford, one in molecular biophysics, one in theology, and one in intellectual history. He sees Jesus Christ. He believes in him as his savior. He is a great defender of the faith. At the same university is an emeritus fellow named Richard Dawkins, world famous because he sees no Christ. He sees the heavens being vacant. Why is it that one man sees what he sees and believes, and another man sees the same things and doesn't believe? In 1858, a scientific expedition passed through what we call the Grand Canyon. A young lieutenant by the name of Ives made the following entry in his report. This region we last explored, the Grand Canyon, is of course altogether valueless. It can be approached only from the south, and after entering it, there is nothing to do but leave. Ours has been the first and doubtless will be the last party of whites to visit this profitless locality. It seems intended that the Colorado River, along the greater portion of its lonely and majestic way, shall be forever unvisited and undisturbed. You can see one thing and come to a different conclusion. Unbelief, after all, is a very stubborn thing. Some people close their eyes, their ears, their hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Magician's Nephew, part of the Chronicles of Narnia, tells about Narnia being created when Aslan, the lion who represents Jesus, sings everything into being. It reveals his majesty and his glory. It's a grand call to worship. But there is one, Uncle Andrew, who refuses to hear it, and the consequences are staggering. Lewis writes, "When the great moment came and the beast spoke, he missed the whole point for a rather interesting reason. When the lion had first begun singing long ago when it was still quite dark, he realized that the noise was a song, and he disliked the song very much. It made him think and feel things that he did not want to think and feel. Then when the sun rose and he saw that the singer was a lion, only a lion, he said to himself, he tried his hardest to make himself believe that it wasn't singing and never had been singing, only roaring as any lion might in a zoo in our own world. Of course, it can't really have been singing, he thought. I must have imagined it. I've been letting my nerves get out of order. Who ever heard of a lion singing? And the longer and more beautifully the lion sang, the harder Uncle Andrew tried to make himself believe that he could hear nothing but roaring. Now, the trouble about trying to make yourself stupider than you really are is that you very often succeed. Uncle Andrew did. He soon did hear nothing but roaring in Aslan's song. Soon he couldn't have heard anything else, even if he had wanted to. And when at last the lion spoke and said, Narnia, awake, he didn't hear any words, only a snarl. And when the beast spoke in answer, he heard only barkings, growlings, bayings, and howlings. But our Lord Jesus didn't stop preaching and teaching and healing when the Pharisees accused him of working with the power of Satan. He knew full well the resistance of unbelief, the stubborn hardness of heart that turned many against him, but he also knew the power of the gospel, the truth that could set people free, and the work of the Holy Spirit that can bring people from darkness to light, out of bondage into freedom. He knew the promise that the word would not return void, so he continued to preach and to teach in all the towns of Israel. He knew about Zacchaeus coming to faith, about the centurion with enough faith to ask only for a word of promise, about the woman with the issue of blood who believed that if she only touched his garment, she would be healed, about the Syrophoenician woman who begged him to heal her son because she knew that he had the power to do it, and the Samaritan leper who returned to give thanks to Jesus because he knew the power that Jesus had extended to make him well. Jesus desires much more than amazement and marveling. He wants people to come to faith, to come to the knowledge of the truth. But faith, you see, is God's gift. Faith enables us to know the gifts of God and the one that he sent to us so that we might ask and seek and find. That's why the Augsburg Confession in Article 5 says, so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith when and where it pleases God. It's God's work, but it's also our responsibility and privilege to be able to proclaim that good news everywhere, to sow the seed, knowing that the seed has power in itself. We're called to proclaim that good news, to use the means of grace, because we know that the Holy Spirit is at work, and he works through such means. The blind can see, the mute can speak, the deaf can hear, and people can turn from amazement to faith in Jesus Christ. Not all will respond in faith, but that's God's work. We left to Him. May God's grace and peace rest upon us as we carry out that mission of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.